Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul, and today we're going to be talking about Cyrano's production of Red, White, and Tuna, which opens tonight. And our guests are John Minton.
Hello.
And Caleb Bourgeois.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're certainly welcome. So, Red, White, and Tuna, what does it mean?
there's a series of plays written by three men, Justin Williams, Joe Sears, and Ed Howard, and it's the Greater Tuna series, and this is the third in that series, and it's set in Texas's third smallest town on the weekend of 4th of July, and it's got a bunch of colorful characters and a bunch of wackadoodle hijinks ensue.
That sounds
wackadoodle.
Fun.
Wackadoodle.
Wackadoodle. That's the word to describe it.
So is this, I think I saw one of these shows once, Greater Tuna maybe.
Mm-hmm,
it was
right.
With the radio station mm-hmm. or something like that.
There's a radio station, yeah.
And there's it's like a two-hander, two-person mm-hmm. play, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the actors play a big variety of different characters, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a two-man play. It's me and Anthony Lounsbury. Mm-hmm. And between the two of us, we play 20 characters all
wow.
together. And there's mm-hmm. an array of characters that are referenced off stage throughout. So,
wow. You need a less.
After a while, you know, it just becomes second nature. We've been rehearsing this for a while. And mm-hmm. it's gotten to the point there's really not enough time to think about who's coming next. You just mm-hmm. go right into it. So
that's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
Because I could imagine it would be very difficult.
Yeah.
It seems
at first.
Confusing. I mean, yeah. how do you, when you start to build each character, I mean, what's the process like when are there really extensive descriptions of each character that makes it easier for you to kind of differentiate? Or do you kind of use your own experience in life? Or do you kind of start channeling crazy relatives? Or how is this done?
Well, I did spend some time as a pie. No, never mind. I was going to try to ad lib on that one, but
the pie play?
As a pie maker in Tuna. So no, bad radio. There's not much of an extensive character description for any of these people. A lot of it comes from the dialogue and a lot of it comes from the relationships that are established. And, you know, it's just, I can't speak for Anthony mm-hmm. entirely, but I know for me, it was just about making the characters as genuine as possible while still, mm-hmm. you know, maintaining the humor that's in the script and in the mm-hmm. dialogue for all of them, you know.
It takes really good acting, which was something Anchorage has, and
yeah.
which we keep saying.
Well, people. This is kind of like a masterclass in expertise, right, mm-hmm. for you
mm-hmm.
two guys?
Yeah, a little bit. But we've done this kind of stuff before with our sketch comedy show mm-hmm. over the summer, and a lot of the help in establishing mm-hmm. the characters came from the costumes that Caleb designed for
the
show.
That's a brilliant segue.
So, yeah.
Let's throw it over to Caleb.
Well, this was a great opportunity for me. It's the second show I've ever costumed, but it was a big challenge going into it, but a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed working with both Anthony and John on their costumes and basically giving those characters life through those costumes and what their interpretation was and integrating that into the look. So,
do they change costumes as they change characters? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every time they change to a different character, they have a different costume. And costume changes in this show are crazy. I'm so impressed with the speed and ability that they have just to throw things off and still know where something is so they can put it back on later. Mm-hmm. So it's been really fun watching them through this whole process.
Dress and undress.
Yeah.
I was visualizing something quite different. I was visualizing you as having a call-in show, but in which you played both ends, but obviously that's not the way it works.
No, we are we're on our feet the entire time, and it's a total adrenaline rush, and just, you know, it's fun and it's crazy, and you know, keeps us on our toes. And Krista Schwarting, our director, really should be commended for her extensive amount of patience with us. every rehearsal, you know, Anthony and I are just cracking each other up, which will not happen in the show. We will crack the audience up and not each other. So
that excellent. I approve of that.
So, Caleb, costume-wise, I mean, do you have to modify the costumes to make them like special, you know, breakaway breeches or something like that? Is there a lot of Velcro?
There is a lot of Velcro in the show, yeah.
So, like, if they turn sideways, we can see the backs of their street clothes or something?
Is it just like a
Potemkin village of costuming?
really, there's usually one major piece for each character, whether that be a shirt or a dress or whatever that costume piece is. There's generally one item and then a wig or a hat. So you can see the actors taking the costume off, ripping it off, and the Velcro and everything, just everything is visible, and they have their base costume underneath. So they're always clothed.
Yeah. Well, and that's really part of the fun of the show, part of the humor of the show, is seeing the actors. You know, we both play a lot of women, but neither of us are trying to be, you know, pass off as actual women. And if somebody in the audience does think we're women, well, I don't know how to take that, you know. But, you know, part of the fun is seeing us change into these different costumes and different characters. And, you know, Caleb, speaking as an actor who goes through all these different costumes, Caleb did a great job of making them easy to get into and out of. So.
And may I say, there is nothing funnier than seeing John and Anthony wearing a dress and a wig.
Putting on a giant bra and sliding it to the front.
Right.
It does happen.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk. Here with our guests, John Mitten and Caleb Bourgeois. And we're talking about Cyrano's production of Red, White, and Tuna, which opens tonight. Now, where were we?
I want to ask you about, is this Tuna, Texas?
Yes, this is Tuna, correct. Texas. This
and that's
is
a the real town, right?
I do not know, to be absolutely honest.
There's that David Lynch movie where they say Big Tuna. There's a sign that has like a derogatory slogan spray painted over the town. So is there a real town, Big Tuna?
You know, there very well may be. I don't like to have facts influence my actual performance, so I stayed willfully ignorant to that whole thing. You know?
Well, it's like a landlocked place, and tuna is, like, the last time I looked, the kind of fish.
It is. It is also a fish. A delicious fish.
Yeah. That comes in a can.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but anyway, that's not... Yeah, these facts are not important.
They're very important.
So you're like a DJ in the show or something?
Well, that's one of my characters. Some of the characters are I'm a DJ. I am an elderly woman. I am the president of the independent nation of Free White Texas, which is as close-minded and conservative as it sounds. I am, let's see, what else am I? It's really hard to, I am a voluptuous food caterer. So,
and a hippie.
Hippie, yeah, mm-hmm. An old hippie. I'm a lot of characters.
Well, it's hearing that you change costume for each, that does give you time to put yourself in the new character.
A little bit, yeah. It's really flying by the seat of our pants every single...
Once the hat is on, everything changes.
Exactly. It's all about, you know, putting on the hat, finishing the hat.
So Caleb, you just combed all the thrift stores? And kind of you have a little list, a notebook, and you just assemble each character's ensemble as you go, or was it more of an intuitive thing?
Well,
the script?
There was a great amount of costumes in the Cyrano's costume loft. So I started going through those first, and I found some of the costumes that were used in Cyrano's past production of Greater Tuna, and they had been left over, and some other costumes that worked really well with what we were going for. Yeah.
Oh.
So some of those costumes that we have in the show are may very well have been in Greater Tuna when they did it in the past. But that made it a little easier for me because some of the costumes already had the fake breasts already in the costume, so I didn't even have to do that leg of the work.
Built into the hip waders.
Yeah, but a lot of the work was just altering the piece and making it into something different.
Do you do a lot of sewing for costumes? This is an interest to me. I didn't realize you did this for a living.
Well, I'm still relatively new at it, but a lot of the work that I did in this show was pulling the costumes, and I would make small alterations. I'm not the strongest sewer in the world, but that's something that comes with practice, I think. But
the alterations made all the difference, believe me.
But, changing things so they're easier to get in and out of, those are the kinds of alterations that I needed to make during this show.
You're going to do this for a living or just for fun?
I think I'm going to get roped into it more now that I'm on the radio telling everybody that I do costumes.
Not if you're a stitcher. Yeah. And a play like this, insofar as, keeping like the energy level going, if the director was here, I'll ask you because you're also a director, John. what kind of internal compass was necessary in order to, keep your energy from flagging? Or is it just, the adrenaline thrill of being on stage and having to get into the next costume?
Lots and lots of drugs.
Okay.
No, it's just...
I applaud your honesty.
Absolutely. I'm an open book. It's part of theatrical training as it is, just warm up every day, focus, energy, keeping it up. Anthony and I work incredibly well together. And like I said, when part of it, we're having fun out there on stage. And I think that really affects the energy and the energy level. And like I said, you just got to go with it and go for it and don't have time to think about it. And that's really, it's just exciting. I think that's that excitement keeps it going. So
thanks a lot, John Minton and Caleb Bourgeois. And
thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to seeing Red, White, and Tuna.
And now here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar, go to datebook49.com where you can list your event on KSKA's website. At Anchorage Community Theater, you can see Pump Boys and Dinettes, which runs through May the 22nd. Showtimes are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7, with a Sunday show at 3. This famous show is full of music and laughs. Tickets are available online or call 868-4913.
In Eagle River, the Alaska Academy of Fine Arts presents Madeline and the Gypsies. This weekend is the last. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7. For tickets and information, go to AFAA or call 694-8908.
Out North presents Tennessee Williams' first Broadway hit and the play that began his career with The Glass Menagerie. Tonight through May the 22nd. This show runs Thursdays through Saturday at 8 p.m. with a Sunday show at 3 p.m. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
This is also the last weekend to see The Adventures of Peter Rabbit, presented by TBA at APU's Grant Hall. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 7, Saturday and Sunday at 3. For info, call 677-PLAY or go to TBA Theater's website.
At Mad Myrna, as you can see, The Who's Tommy, this famous rock opera, is getting rave reviews. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 7, with a Saturday show at 10, except for the 21st. And this show runs through May 21st. Tickets are available at www.centertix.net or by calling 263-ARTS. And I saw this show. Yeah, I thought it was great, terrific. I really enjoyed it. I recommend it.
The new group, Mountain Shack Theater Alaska, is presenting live Alaska comedy at the Wildberry Theater all summer long. Shows are 9 p.m. on the first and third Fridays and Saturdays of each month and feature sci-fi themes. Tickets at centertix.net or by calling 263-ARTS.
Up in Wasilla, you can see Valley Performing Arts' presentation of Bad Boys Gone Gray. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 8 with a Sunday show at 2. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
At Cyrano's, it's the first weekend of Red, White, and Tuna. Showtimes are 7 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 3 on Sunday. The show runs through June 26th. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul.
And I'm Mark Muro for KSKA.